Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Thursday full of energy. Live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. I am going on Cameo starting later today, Joy.
Whoa.
Joy talked me into it. I'm going on Cameo and doing Father's Day and Mother's Day messages for America. So if you want one, sign up, blah, blah, blah.
It's very exciting.
Doing it for 6 weeks, that's it. I'm busy. I don't have to, I'm doing stuff.
You're a very busy person, yes.
Okay, whatever. So, one of the advantages Joy and I have, we've been doing this a while, and the downside is when you get older, stuff breaks. The good side, Joy, doing stuff for a long time like you and I have done, we've seen everything before.
Yeah.
I've really seen everything before. I don't get worked up with crazy politicians. Pandemic was scary, but it's not the first time we've had a major health crisis in America. This country every couple of years has a fireworks show. We're not quite sure what to do. We got to clean it up. It's unexpected. It's loud. And this Aaron Rodgers thing now is falling into this. Oh, my God. This is the. Can you believe? It is not extraordinary. It's actually rather ordinary. I saw this story this morning. Aaron Rodgers told prospective Packer free agents, yeah, I'm probably not going to be here. I want you to think about this. So Tom Brady and New England lasted 20 years. Now, Tom's a Martian, so everything lasts longer. It's silly to put him into any of these arguments, but Tom Brady, 20 years in New England. You can go back to the ESPN article 3 years earlier, and there was tension before it ended. Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay, at 16 years. It was all good until 3 years ago when he signed that big contract. Then we got tension. Favre and Rodgers, we looked it up this morning, 16 years. But when they drafted Aaron Rodgers about three and a half years earlier, then you had tension. Big Ben, year 17. Yeah, 3.5 years ago, they drafted Mason Rudolph, and it got real tense in the building. How about the likable, chill Eli Manning? 16 years as the Giants. Yeah, and go back, Google. It's a search engine. Last 3 years, benchings, criticisms, and it got tense. Not just the players. Think about those teams. New England, Green Bay, New York Giants, Pittsburgh, Blue Bloods. Foundational NFL franchises. It is harder with anxiety. They're not used to it. They have a way of doing business. It's IBM, a little harder to adapt sometimes to the evolution of business and personalities within it. But 13 years of great and harmony, followed by about 3 years of tension, that's the way it works. With all sorts of personalities. Now, I do think Aaron's a little more prickly than most, but let's take the four quarterbacks I mentioned. Eli Manning. It's like chill, southern chill, the laid-back brother of an icon. Aaron Rodgers, California cool, kind of condescending. Oh, different personalities. Tom Brady, aspirational, I'll play forever. Which is the opposite of Big Ben. I don't even work out in the offseason. You got big city guys, small city guys, little brother guys, want to play forever guys. It's always the same. By the way, Matt Ryan, 13 years in Atlanta. Got a little tense this year as they considered drafting a quarterback. You can feel that happening in Atlanta. We went online this morning and looked it up. The average divorce happens after about eight and a half years. But that's after 3 years of dating and a year to a year and a half of engagement. Let's add up the numbers. 8.5 plus 3 plus 1.5 equals 13 years. This is not extraordinary. this is the way it works. Yes, Aaron's hyper-prickly personality and Green Bay's conservative, Miss Western, cheese hat-wearing ethos was bound to fail. But it doesn't matter if you're laid back like Eli, intense like Tom, beers in a yoga class in the summer like Big Ben, or California cool Aaron. To further my point, who are the three greatest Packer quarterbacks of all time? Bart Starr, it lasted 16 years. Brett Favre, it lasted 16 years. Aaron Rodgers, if he's traded this year, will have lasted 16 years. You've been around, you've seen everything. Just bound to happen. Over and over and over. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. Got about 10 more years together. Mahomes will have few Super Bowls, few injuries. If Andy's still around, he'll be really expensive. They won't want to talk about it, but they'll have to. We're going to draft another quarterback. 13 years in, you hope you get three more at the end, maybe a Super Bowl, but it gets tense. It's the way it always works with star quarterbacks. So now there is this belief, I've read multiple stories on this, that Denver is the number one team for Aaron Rodgers. That's the number one team. Like, it's understood they have the pieces, they have the draft picks, and they're in a division with great quarterbacks. And in fact, when Mark Schlereth went on the air right before the draft and said Denver, Mark's a very popular talk show host in Denver, Denver has the best package for him, Aaron did not dismiss it. Aaron DM'd Mark Schlereth. He didn't say you were wrong. He said, let's get lunch soon. Where'd you hear that? And Schlereth said, somebody that has really good contacts that has never been wrong. And so there is this sense Green Bay is just going to get a cachet, a truckload of great picks. I don't think that's true. And for anybody going after Aaron, there's a lot of red flags here. First of all, Denver's general manager, George Payton, is a first-year general manager replacing Elway. He's not getting fired. GM for Green Bay could get fired, but George Payton can strike a hard bargain, even if they finish fourth. Vic Fangio's out, not the general manager. So he doesn't have any inside pressure in Denver. They're going to defend him to the end. Brian Gutekunst in Green Bay got a lot of heat. But I want you to think about the red flags with Aaron. How much would Green Bay get back? Let's do the ABCs of Aaron's issues. He's already gotten a head coach fire. A. Doesn't help him on the market. Some teams just don't want that. He's now working on getting a general manager fired. B. C. He missed half of two seasons with an injury. D. He got hurt in week one against the Bears and played hurt another year. E. He's expensive. F. He's old, 37. And G. Tom Brady's going to be looking at film in the offseason. He's going to be hosting Jeopardy. Aaron's got a lot of non-football interest going on in his life. Listen, Denver wants him, but should strike an incredibly hard bargain. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers should be rooting for it. What you don't want is when Carmelo Anthony announced, I'm going to be a Nick, and the Denver Nuggets had to trade him. But because Carmelo said, I refuse to play here, the Knicks had to give everything up to get Carmelo. Denver had all the leverage, and Carmelo ended up being a very expensive chandelier in a house with no furniture. Aaron Rodgers has to be careful. Because what he doesn't want to do is go to Denver and they've given up their number two receiver. They've given up six draft picks. What Aaron wants to do is go to a franchise that maybe gives up a couple of first round picks, but doesn't have to give up any weapons. Denver has leverage. Green Bay doesn't have nearly as much as they think. And if you're Aaron Rodgers, be careful. You want the team you go to win the trade. Don't corner Green Bay. Don't jam them up against the wall. You don't want that. You want the team that gets you. You don't want a Carmelo Anthony. This or that. I'm leaving if I don't. You want the team that gets you to win the trade. Also, it should be noted, if he went to Denver, not only would Aaron Rodgers not be a Super Bowl favorite, they would not be favorites to win their division. Aaron is closer to the Super Bowl in Green Bay this morning than he would be in Denver tomorrow morning. And that's with the current Bronco roster. What if they have to give up multiple pieces? Makes it even harder. All right, so Damian Lillard said something about Kevin Durant, and though it may be true, it points out the truth about Kevin Durant's legacy, which has now already been framed, unless he remains healthy and wins several titles in Brooklyn. Good stuff today. Matt Nagy, coach of the Chicago Bears, joins us in 1 hour.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
1-800-Flowers.com. Offer ends today. Mother's Day gifts. 1-800-Flowers. Enter the code HERD, H-E-R-D. All sorts of good stuff. Gifts, bouquets, 1-800-Flowers. So, there's always comparisons made between athletes. You know, who's in the NFL, general managers ask their scouts, give me a comp, give me a high end, a low end. And that's what you do. That's Rich McKay, who now runs the Atlanta Falcons, the president. He taught me that years ago when I covered the Buccaneers. I asked my scouts, best case scenario, worst case scenario, who is this player? And so that's an exercise teams use. In basketball, you get that similarly. And we always make comparisons. I've always thought the LeBron-MJ stuff, it's actually a credit to both. What it's basically saying, because their games aren't the same, it's basically saying these are the two best players of all time. That's what it's really saying. It's not about anything else, is that LeBron's the first guy we've really ever discussed a lot with Michael Jordan, LeBron and Michael Jordan, because LeBron's so good. But I saw a story yesterday. Damian Lillard, great player for Portland, one of the 5-10 best players in the world, said, you know, Kevin Durant really, when healthy, could be the best player in the world. Here's Dame.
KD healthy could very well be the best player in the NBA. Nobody can guard him. Like, if he's healthy, he's shooting threes off the dribble. He's pulling up off the dribble. He's posting up. He can get to the rim. You can't block his shot. The way he handles the ball, the way he moves at that size, who are you going to put on him? When healthy, I think at this moment, he could very well be the best player in the league.
It's all about offense, though. He doesn't defend like LeBron at his peak, doesn't pass like LeBron, doesn't lead like LeBron, not as physically sturdy as LeBron. But the NBA players love other players' offense. You know what Kevin Durant really is to me? He is Wilt. That's his comp. Remember, Wilt started with the Globetrotters, then went to the Warriors, then went to the Sixers, then went to the Lakers. In an era, players were not mobile. He was. That's Kevin Durant. 1 year at Texas, then he goes to Oklahoma City, then he goes to the Warriors, now he's at Brooklyn. He is Wilt. He is an unstoppable offensive force. He's flaky. Great player, but never really seen as the face of the league. The personality doesn't work. In the end, he's going to have some titles, but you always wonder, why? Why weren't there more with Wilt? Kobe, of course, has always been, and this one's not even arguable, Kobe is MJ. Intense, similar size, actually had the same coach in the same system, killers, winners. They were all about the W. They were all about winning. They were confrontational. They get in your face. LeBron doesn't. LeBron, of course, is magic. Makes everybody better. Probably the best passing big I've ever seen in my life. They're great businessmen. Everybody likes kind of playing with them. Everybody's best years were around Magic. Everybody's best years are around LeBron. Lots of finals. Win some, lose some. Both are number one picks. Massive pressure on both. First night in the league. Westbrook is Iverson. Hyperspeed. That's like blur. That's what they should put on the back of Westbrook's jersey. Blur. Intense. You got to kind of build a team around them specifically for what they are. They're iconoclastic, don't get along with all teammates, very difficult to play for them, first ballot Hall of Famers, but a lot of credibility among players because they're just so intensely, naturally gifted. But KD's kind of Wilt. I mean, for all the greatness of Wilt, we've talked about this before, Wilt not only scored 100 points in the game, and he played for a long time, he scored 80 several times. He scored 70 a dozen times. You couldn't stop Wilt. The average center was 6'8". He was 7'1". Wilt would be great today. Wilt would be great today. But he's only 7th all-time leading scorer. Why doesn't he have more titles? Because Wilt, like KD, was a wanderer. He's just kind of wandering through life, enjoying life, doing a bunch of stuff in life, happy with a lot of things in life, sometimes felt a little tortured, little flaky, great, often argued the best player in the league, but you never really felt like he was the face of the league because you couldn't really depend on Wilt all the time. Bill Russell was a rock. You could depend on him. Kareem had the skyhook forever. Magic, Michael, Kobe, even Shaq and his craziness, you felt like you could build the league around them. Not really with Wilt and not really with KD. So, first of all, I always kind of laugh when players talk about best player in the league. Yeah, KD's unstoppable. How come we never talk about leadership and health and defense and making others better? Just gets lost sometimes on players. And secondly, there's all these comps for everybody. And this is not a shot because Wilt is the first superstar I ever saw. I was on a bunk bed, top, Blazers, Lakers. Wilt was old. He had a headband. The Blazers couldn't stop him. He was like the first great player. I had newspaper clippings around my room. I think Wilt was eventually replaced by like Elmore Smith for the Lakers. It's like a trivia question. But KD can't stay healthy, and he's not really dependable. And I think he's going to end up much like Chamberlain, which is a lot of titles, but not as many as we think he should garner. Joy of the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, we have a little more spice in the Ravens-Steelers rivalry.
What happened?
Former Steelers lineman Alejandro Villanueva signed with the Ravens on Tuesday.
That was kind of an interesting signing, wasn't it? Like out of the blue.
Out of the blue. And he apparently took a shot at a former teammate, Juju, when he discussed how he preferred to block for run-heavy teams like the Ravens instead of ones that are more focused on passing.
It was incredibly challenging that we knew we had to go with these game plans that involve passing the ball potentially the entire game. The mentality, you know, when you have a balanced offense or when you run the ball, it's obviously better for the offensive line. I'm assuming it's not as fun for the wide receivers because they're not getting all the catches. They're making the TikToks and they're having fun on their social media.
Mm. Oh boy,
the shade. Well, perhaps they weren't running the ball because you had the 31st ranked run blocking offensive line in the league. Might make it a little more difficult.
Well, running offensive linemen would always rather run block,
sure,
than pass block.
Yeah, that's not dramatic news.
Yeah, that's not. And the Steelers, which ran the ball brilliantly since Le'Veon Bell left, don't run it. And frankly, their offensive line has DeCastro, who's great. That guy who's okay, not great. And of all the things they've addressed in Pittsburgh, one thing they haven't in like 3 years is the O line.
Well, I don't get the shot at Juju. Like, Juju doesn't have anything to do with the game plan. And they're not running the ball as much because they don't have a dynamic running game and you don't have a great run-blocking offensive line. And Ben likes to throw it because they've got great wide receivers. So, like, what's the shot at Juju? I get it, okay, that like, that's an easy – Juju's an easy target with all that. But, like, the TikTok thing is getting a little old. Like, he's on TikTok. He's a young guy. You're going to see a whole lot more of that. So just let that wash over you and accept that. That's what guys do now.
The question will be, though, fair or not, is when he was available to the market, and he's got pretty good production in terms of catches, and there was no market for him, the TikTok team, fair or not, is that now becoming his label, not his catches?
Well, does anyone consider Juju to be a number one receiver?
I think people think of him as a great two, and now he feels like a three.
I don't think he's going to be a three in Pittsburgh. I think that Juju's brand maybe makes people think he's a different player than he is, which is not Juju's fault. Like, he has a big personality. He has his social media brand. He's a big gamer. And he's a fun guy. Like, he's not a bad guy. I think that this whole thing last year got a little out of control with the, like, oh, he's dancing on the on the logos. Like, yes, so what? Like, if you don't like it, go out and beat them. For 11 straight games, they didn't.
It doesn't bother me, but Cam had no market. Jameis had no market. Juju had no market.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can put Cam and Jameis in the same category as Juju. Like, Juju's a low-end one, high-end two, and works very well with the Steelers. And part of being with the Steelers has accelerated his brand as well, obviously, because the Steelers are such a big brand. But Cam and Jameis are quarterbacks.
Well, Jameis was seen as immature.
Right, but we don't hold wide receivers to the same standards as we do quarterbacks ever.
If I have to pay him, I'll consider it.
Right, but I don't. That's what I'm saying. I guess I don't see Juju in the same market as a Julio Jones or DeAndre Hopkins or, you know, these even Odell Beckham Jr.
No.
Who are guys that you are going to lean on game after game for high volume.
But how does Adam Humphries and Cole Beasley have a better market than Juju Smith-Schuster? How, as slot receivers, how is that possible?
I'm not saying that the TikTok thing doesn't hurt him. I'm just saying at this point, yeah, it's like it's a little played out. Get it. And as far as like Villanueva goes, like maybe
he had like 1,400 yards a couple years ago and has no market. Like his first year in the league, he was a pop player.
Yeah, I think his reputation is a little bit... It's exaggerated, though.
Yes, it's getting too into social. It's like OBJ. There's a point where it's like, dude, you're almost... Like, get healthy and play because you're great. And sometimes you're... fair or not, by the way.
Yeah.
Fair or not. Twitter can... Social media can explode and you have... It's an avalanche. But I do think with Juju, there's been a move in the last 18 months where it's kind of like people are now talking about the TikTok as much as the football. Yeah. Fair or not.
So it's been 13 years since Brett Favre retired and then forced his way out of Green Bay. So he's familiar with the contentious situation and relationship with that team. He recently said he's not optimistic that Aaron Rodgers will return to the Packers. He said, I know Aaron fairly well, and honestly, I just don't see him coming back and just saying, all right, let's just bury the hatchet, whatever caused the rift, and I'm just going to come back and play because I love the guys, I love Green Bay fans. But his rift isn't with the fans or the players. It's with the front office. Will he just swallow his pride and come in? Maybe, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't either. That's not...
He also added that he could see Rodgers sitting if he doesn't get his way.
I could.
How ugly do you think this could get? Because we are talking about a lot of money here.
Well, this sounds silly, but Aaron has to consider State Farm. So if Aaron gets too prickly and his likability plummets, then State Farm's like, that's not a guy we want as the face of our insurance company. Aaron makes $25 million a year, I imagine, outside of football. One of the reasons he does in his commercials, he's kind of snarky, funny, likable, handsome. You want to make sure your brand doesn't become... Guy's kind of a jerk. I mean, Dak Prescott is not a great player, but Dak is incredibly likable and makes $50 million in endorsements. I think Aaron has to weigh the fact that you don't want the two things you don't want to happen for Aaron. You force Denver to give up a fortune to get you, and then you walk in and you don't have weapons. The second thing is you don't want to be seen as a jerk.
But how I'm so far on Aaron's side that I probably can't see. So what is the pulse on Aaron? Because this, to your point earlier, this happens all the time. Like, this is not a new thing.
No, great.
Green Bay's a very small market. Even though it's a big brand, it's a small market.
I think it's great and difficult, but most coaches who are 2 years from being fired are willing to deal with the difficult. So they'll
I'm saying as far as like his brand getting hurt by him sitting. I don't know how far it would have to go, like how ugly it would have to get for that to be impacted. Because I think he just has so much respect around the league.
Yeah, I don't. Again, coaches are desperate creatures, so I don't think it would hurt him with coaches. Yeah. If you're Vic Fangio, you want to win games. Herbert twice a year, Derek Carr twice a year, Mahomes twice a year.
Yeah.
I don't care about the
I'm
prickly.
I'm talking more about State Farm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think Aaron's got to be a little careful here not to be sort of above it all. Because remember, Green Bay, the Packers are beloved. They're Midwestern. They're loved by America. You don't want to dump on a beloved. And they're also not a big city. Right. We all know Green Bay's the little engine that could. You don't want to crap on that.
Yeah, you don't want it to get too far into, like, I'm in a
it's one thing if you bail on the Lakers. People are like, yeah, you're the Lakers. You don't want to, this is Midwestern values.
Yeah.
People like the Packers. They're really a beloved,
they're a cornerstone franchise in the NFL.
But they're beyond that, they're almost like the Cubs. They're lovable. Green Bay is a really likable Steelers, I think, have that kind of, it's the Rooney family. They are good people. They give their players an extra contract.
Yeah.
There's certain friends. And then there's the Lakers who are good but are stealing your girlfriend. Like, they're not they're not as likable.
So finally, Kyrie Irving's issue with the media seems to be continuing. The NBA fined both Kyrie and the Nets $35,000 on Wednesday for violating league rules governing media interview access. The league said that the fines came after Irving's repeated refusal to participate in the team post-game media availability, something that the NBA requires players to do. He was fined $25,000 in December when he issued the statement saying he wanted his messages to be conveyed properly and that he wasn't going to speak to the media all season, and then put out the Instagram post about the pawns and all of that. So he has been fined again for not talking to the media.
First of all, and I'm asking this because I don't know, there's no fans in some, I mean, like, Portland's yet to have fans.
New York has some fans.
Some fans, yeah. Like, I watched the Cubs-Dodgers last night. There's people in there. What? How many media people are at these arenas? Like, is it that?
I don't know that there's that many at the arenas, but they're still doing the Zoom.
And so if you don't show up for the Zoom meeting, yeah, you get tagged. Okay.
I mean, so it's the equivalent of not showing up for
are media going
there
to the games?
I don't know how many. I think there
are
some
they are?
Media. Yeah.
Okay.
It's probably like the beat writers for, you know, the local news organizations that are allowed in, and obviously like the team's staff, like media staff that cover the team as well.
But yeah,
I mean, either way, like, there's still a lot of people, national writers and media members, who are on the Zoom calls that he's not showing up for. Look, I get it. Like, the media is annoying.
Yeah.
We're the media. We're nerds. Like, we get paid to talk about other people's careers. But at the end of the day, it's in CBA. Like, if you don't like it, get it out. Like, that's part of the agreement. It's part of what it is that you do.
Yeah.
I understand it. And sometimes you don't feel like doing it. Just go and give basic answers then. Like, you don't always have to give the most eloquent interview. I understand that it's annoying, but it's part of the job. Like, fans get crazy about it. Like, you shouldn't have to talk to the media. Like, no, you do have to talk to the media.
Yeah, and
like,
then,
it's
by the
part
way,
of the job.
The league fights for that because the league wants its players to talk and be all over social media. So when you think the players don't have to, no, the league demands they talk.
Yeah, but also the players agreed with the league that this is part of the, like, this is part of the CBA. You have to do this. It's part of the job.
Good stuff. Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herdline News.
By the way, I saw a story this morning. The owner of the 49ers said, hey, we could sit Trey Lance behind Jimmy Garoppolo for multiple years. Okay, that's not going to happen because Jimmy's not healthy for multiple years. If Jimmy Garoppolo was going to play just for 2 years, and let's say San Francisco's good enough to be a playoff team, so let's say 2 playoff games per year. Now we have 17 games. Are you saying Jimmy Garoppolo is going to play 34, that's 2 years, 34 regular season, 38 straight games? The longest he's ever played is 21, and that is by far and away double, almost triple his longest succession of games in a row. So that's not going to happen. This is what's going to happen in San Francisco. Jimmy's going to play till the wheels come off, and if they don't come off this year, he'll stay. This time next year, Trey's starting, Jimmy's being moved. That's just the way it's going to work. They're there. This idea that, oh, it's just Jimmy's going to play for a year. No. You don't give up a bunch of picks. Move to 3. It's a one-year plan. It's like Mahomes. 1 year. In fact, don't be shocked if Trey doesn't get a little taste off a bye week. Niners have a 3 or 4 game lead in division. Probably won't. Don't be surprised. All right, Eric Mangini's around the corner. If you're Denver, if you wanted Aaron Rodgers, Can't you strike a hard bargain right now? He's 37, he's old, he's expensive. We'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Eric Mangini, 3 Super Bowl rings, coach 3 years, Jets 2 years, Browns. He's now joining us live, Fox Sports NFL analyst. So I was saying this is that if you're George Payton, you're the GM of Denver, first year on the job, there's no internal pressure or you're going to get run. I think you could strike a hard bargain here. First of all, if I'm Aaron, I don't want the team I'm going to give up the farm. I want to go. I don't want him giving up Jerry Jeudy and 7 picks. But I think to myself, Aaron's 37. He's had injuries. He's had a coach fired. He's expensive. I mean, isn't it possible that Green Bay doesn't have all the leverage here, Aaron, and that you could strike a fairly hard bargain to get Aaron?
No, not at all. The amount of leverage Green Bay has is tremendous. They're not going to give him up. And as ugly as this can get, it can't get as ugly as a traditional franchise because there's no owner. Usually when guys want to shoot their way out of town, they start to insult the owner, the owner's family, and that's the way they get out. No ownership in Green Bay, and they have no incentive whatsoever to trade Aaron at this point. If he wants to sit out, it's no different than them trading him in the sense that they don't have the player. So why wouldn't you wait for a year to trade Aaron if he wants to sit out and then know what draft picks you're going to get? Whoever you trade him to now, he's going to go there and be really good, and the value of the draft picks you get are going to depreciate because of how good he is. So let him sit for a year if that's what he wants to do, and then trade him to a team that has the highest draft picks and the most draft picks and are the most desperate.
But if you trade him to a cruddy team, Aaron may get the Jeopardy job and say, I'm out. I'm not going to blank. I'm not going to Detroit. I'm not going to a lousy team. I mean, isn't that, again, work against Green Bay, that if you say Houston, Aaron's like, I make $15 million a year doing Jeopardy. I got $100 million in the bank. I'm not going to go play for that nonsense organization. Couldn't he do that?
Well, he's got to get the Jeopardy gig. And then I think the point that you were making about how badly does he want to damage his brand by sitting out and by attacking the team, that could hurt his endorsements. And now you're going to lose $52 million because you're going to have to give back the signing bonus if you want to sit out, plus the $22 million that you'd get in cash. So you're not going to, you know, it's going to be hard to get that money back too. So yeah, could he take a hard line stance? He could, but there's a lot of money at risk for him in doing that. And it's not like he's got that many years left. I mean, I know Tom's rewriting the book, but that's not everybody.
What would it take if you ran the Packers? What is the offer it would take for you to go, okay, I know we're going to swallow, you know, because after June 1st, you can cut your salary cap losses, you can divide them over 2 years, so it's not as punitive, plus you're not paying Jordan Love anything, so it wouldn't crush the franchise, and you do have a very, very, you're a division favorite, you got real players, great O-line, receiver, running back, decent defense, so, and a good coach. So what is the deal you run the Packers that Denver offers that you'd go, okay, I can make that deal?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to make any deal whatsoever. I'd want to go get the receiver that he complained that I cut and bring him back to the team and make him very happy. How do you replace the MVP of the league? But if you are in that situation, I thought San Francisco's deal was the most interesting because they had the number 3 overall pick. And they were going to give him another quarterback back. I thought there was a lot of value in that, but you'd need more than what San Francisco gave to move up, because any draft pick that you get now, again, Colin, is going to be offset by the fact that team's going to win a lot more games with Aaron Rodgers. So odds of you getting a high one is discounted. So it would have to be one of the biggest trades, if not the biggest trade in NFL history. I mean, think about what we were talking about for Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson, both great players. This would have to blow you away, and it would probably need some current players too, some of their better players to make my team better right now.
Is there any possibility? So you're saying I'm not trading him now. You know, we don't know internally what Green Bay is feeling. Their draft room looked like a morgue. Many people suspect they'll trade him before the season. Is there anything? And I'll give you an example. Miami. They're going to know by late October, trading deadline. Tua's not good enough. They got weapons, great defense, great coach, great special teams. No state tax. Is there any scenario in which you could see Green Bay saying, all right, Jordan Love's not ready yet. Let's give him an OTA. Let's give him camp. Let's give him a preseason. Let's get eight games. Hell, if he's not ready by October, we whiffed on the draft pick. Any scenario in which you could see Green Bay making a move 6-7 weeks into the season?
Well, I do think that's when you'd have a chance to move him if Jordan Love comes in and plays really well. So if you go in and you're winning games without Aaron Rodgers and you haven't whiffed on the draft pick, now that makes it a lot more palpable to move on from him, as opposed to going into the season, Love starting, he's not playing very well. Now you whiffed on him and you're sitting on the MVP of the league, and the idea of moving off the MVP gets less and less attractive. I mean, look what happened to New England when they moved off of Tom. It's hard, and it's that much harder when there's so much uncertainty with the guy who's sitting on the bench.
You didn't have a great quarterback with the Jets, and you didn't want Favre. That's well documented. And Favre didn't have any injuries. Favre wasn't as prickly. But you didn't want it because there's some baggage with Brett. He'll be the star. The rest of the locker room feels disengaged a little with Brett because he was so iconic. Do you believe there are some people in this league that are like, listen, man, Aaron got a coach fired. Looks like he wants a GM fired. Do you think Aaron's personality does limit the market some?
Yeah, you know, I didn't want Favre because it didn't fit in the way that we're building the team and the things that we had told all the team in terms of our approach. But I can't say this about Brett. It was a great experience. And when he showed up and started throwing the ball, Colin, it was one of those things like, oh my, this looks way better than I thought it did. And then we started out 8-2 before he got hurt. And when he got hurt, that's when things went downhill for us. I had a great experience with Brett. And from a coaching standpoint, you deal with a lot harder players than I think what Aaron Rodgers is. Aaron may be sending some messages to the media during the course of the season if he's frustrated. And there may be some pushback on things. But he is so good that you can live with that. If that's the biggest problem is dealing with a little bit of aloofness or whatever characteristic you want to attribute to him, to get what he does, sign me up. The other stuff we deal with, so much harder than with a lot less production.
So are you telling me there's stuff behind the scenes a coach deals with that I never hear about?
Oh my God. The volume of stuff that isn't heard by the world is amazing. And it never will be, because you do your best to try to protect everybody involved, but it's crazy.
Eric, good talking to you, Coach.
Great to see you, Colin.
All right, Hustler Turf Equipment, most complete lineup of residential and commercial zero-turn lawnmowers in America. Go to hustlerturf.com, hustlerturf.com. I said that to Eric at the end because a couple years ago, we were having a steak and a glass of wine, and I asked him, what would I be surprised by in the NFL? And he goes, Colin, you have no idea. It can be Sunday morning and a player can't get a ride to the stadium. He needs 20 tickets. His wife kicked him out of the house. He said, you have no idea. You are on the phone at least once a day as an NFL coach. These are 23-year-old kids. Somebody got in a fight. Somebody had a credit card stolen, demanding this, demanding that. So to his point, as Aaron said, believe me, you got to deal with a little Aaron. If he's great, I'll deal with it.
They pay team security guys very well. Very busy people.
Very busy
people. There's a lot going on.
Matt Nagy, coach of the Chicago Bears, is around the corner. And there are a lot of people. Nick Wright came on yesterday and said, you have to fire Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Green Bay Packers. And I thought a lot about that. I've always said, I'm not in the fire coaches business, fire GM business. I don't want to see people fired. I'm going to defend Brian Gutekunst. But I thought about this. Why I wouldn't fire him, even though I think he butchered this. I'll give you my reasoning next. Hour one down, hour two next. The Herd.